Are you all right? Give her. As he was singing that solo, I was singing along with him in my heart because my voice would never, ever be able to do that. We joy in the Lord. It's wonderful. We've had some wonderful music this morning from our flute choir to the worship team to our children and their bells. Did you enjoy that? Wonderful. I thought they did a tremendous job. And then our choir. We appreciate all of Judy's effort in managing so many of those things. As we look into the Word this morning, we're considering Jesus Christ and His names. We've been looking in the Gospel of John. This morning, again, we're going to look in the Gospel of John and digress just a little bit because the name that we're dealing with today is not mentioned in this book. It is not said specifically, but it is alluded to. That is, it is referred to by some other things that John has to say about the Lord Jesus. Turn with me to John chapter 20 and then one page over to chapter 21. We'll not be reading all of that, but just a portion of it. And then we're going to spy into the Old Testament, into Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. John is completing his narrative concerning the Lord Jesus. And as we have repeated this many times, it's familiar to most of you because John's purpose in writing was always before him. Every chapter, every verse, every line was the purpose of showing Jesus Christ in all of His splendor and glory. He wanted people to see Jesus and believe in Him. And so he reiterates that here in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. And then chapter 21, the last chapter of this gospel, he writes again and says in verse 24 and 25, "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things that we know that his testimony is true." Verse 25. "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain all the books that should be written." John stands in awe of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there are so many things that he did and said that even if they were to be written down, the whole world could not contain everything that should be said about the Lord Jesus. Thus the reference of this morning's title to the Lord Jesus, His name, is wonderful. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, Isaiah again pronouncing who Jesus is and His multiplied name says this, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning. Bow with me for prayer, please. Father, as we open the Word this morning, we need You to open our eyes that we could see Jesus in all of His splendor and glory. Not one of us has seen Him, not physically nor spiritually in all His glory. And yet You provide for us glimpses. From time to time, we see Jesus high and lifted up. Our hearts are overwhelmed at the glory of who He is. And so we pray in these few moments, Lord, that You would guide our thoughts to see Jesus as the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We ask it in Jesus' name. There are many things that are wonderful. It was wonderful to hear all this music today. It is wonderful to hear the sounds of bells. Have you ever taken a moment or two just to listen to sound? We have a stereo at home, and it's not the greatest, but at times there are some musical numbers that come through that are in stereo. And if you sit just in the right place in the room, it tickles your ears. It actually seems to make something on the inside stand up. It's almost as if the music itself picks you up and carries you along. I want you to listen for a moment. Listen carefully. Can you hear that? When I hear those kinds of sounds, the sounds that make everything in your body tingle, my heart says, wonderful. John is writing about the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many songs that have been written because it's difficult to express the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be stated in a few words. John says, I've taken all of these 21 chapters, I've expounded for you the names of Jesus Christ, and if we were to do that, there are about 37 names that he uses in reference to Jesus in this book alone. Then the book of Revelation, there are 72 more names that he uses, and if we were to take all the names of Jesus, all the appellations, all of the references to Jesus and who he is, there would be over 700 names for Jesus. And so we write songs. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Another song says, he's more than wonderful, more than marvelous. You see, we can't use enough terms to describe him. He is beyond our comprehension, beyond our ability to speak and define. His name is so great because he is so great. A composer was struggling in despair. He was poverty-stricken. He struggled to earn a living in London. There were days when he did not have enough to buy meals. One night in 1741, he was depressed and defeated, and he wandered the lonely streets. It was almost dawn before he returned back to his shabby room. On a table was a thick envelope. It was from Charles Jennens, a man who wrote music and wrote verse to those musical numbers. Examining the pages, he found them covered with scripture texts. Wearily, he tossed aside the pages and crawled into bed. But he could not sleep. The words of scripture echoed in his mind. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Too stirred to sleep, he arose. He went to the piano, and the music flowed from his heart, rich, majestic, triumphant. He began to write. Night and day he wrote that music for 3 solid weeks, feverishly. He received no sleep, ate no food, and took no rest. He refused to see anyone. At last, that last day of his work was finished. And a friend finally came and knocked on his door and gained entrance. The composer was at his piano. The sheets of music were strewn around him, and tears were streaming down his face. And he said to his friend, I believe I have seen all of heaven open before me. I have seen the great God himself. The author was Handel. The composer had just written Handel's Messiah, one of the greatest songs that has ever been written concerning Jesus and who he is. Millions of people have been able to experience that music, and their hearts have echoed with its truth, like the music of the sound of bells. Hearts echo through the truth of who Jesus is. The first audience of this composition was in Dublin in 1742. And they gave it the greatest ovation in the history of that city. Weeks later, in London, it was heard for the first time, and again, all rose to their feet to applaud the King of Kings. On Christmas that year, it was sung, and that Hallelujah chorus rang out, and the King of England rose to his feet to applaud the one who came to save our souls. His name is wonderful. Jesus' name is beyond description. Musicians can't compose enough to describe it. Melodies of music cannot give us the feeling or the sense of his name. But John struggles with all of his effort to describe this wonderful Savior. And he presents this wonderful Savior on the tray before us, called the Gospel of John. And he says, I beg you, I plead with you to read, to explore, to think on him, and to know who he is. For these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you would have life in his name. What's in a name? Every one of us has a name. Some of us have two names, a first name and a second name, a middle name. Do you ever wonder why you were given a middle name? Maybe it was just in case the first one failed or you lost it. Why were we given two names? I don't know. But usually parents give us names to try to describe their hope or their aspiration for you and me. And that was true in the Old and New Testaments, that people gave children names based on what they desired that child to be. Sometimes it was based on a child's heritage or something that took place at the birth. As I looked over names or birth names, I began to wonder why people are called certain names. And as I explored this, I found one website that lists over 4,000 names that you could use to name your child. So if you're expecting a child, or hope to someday, I'm going to read them to you. Actually, I want to share a few because they're the most unusual names, and I don't even know that I can pronounce them properly. Kaila, C-A-I-L-L-A. And the next one, I have no idea why any parent would ever call a son by this name. Colon. Tristan, Jalen, Malik, Dejan, Tyrek, Keegan, Cahill, Devont, Taji, Axel, Taekwon, middle name Go. Then you hear some names and you wonder, where in the world did anybody get those names? I had a girlfriend when I was about 12 years old, and her name was Trula. Her father got the name from a racing horse. I had a friend in high school whose first name was General. And of course, we all know Larry Moe and Curly Joe. And then there's Alfalfa and Buckwheat. What's in a name? There's something about a name. A name is a label. A name is an identification, even if that name is given to you and it means nothing or very little. You give quality to that name. When our daughter was about to be born, we thought of many different names to call our child. And Marilyn liked the name Angela. And I vetoed the name. And she says, why, it's a beautiful name. And I said, no, I can only think of one person named Angela, and of course this was way back when. You know whose name I remembered? Angela Davis, the rebel rouser in the 60s. And so I couldn't name my child Angela because every time I would look at her, I'd think of Angela Davis. So we named her Angelica. Oh, much better. And fits with the French last name. Names mean things. If you are giving birth to a child and you want him to be a boxer, you may call him Mike Tyson. Ooh, I doubt it. Why? Nothing wrong with that name, but the character behind the name has tainted the name. And yet there are other names where heroes have developed from that name, simple names, like Lee. Names which meant great and honorable people, generals in wars and presidents, and people aspire to be like them. John looks for a name. And Jesus announces his names to him. And as we sweep through the pages of the New and Old Testaments, we find 600, 700 names for Jesus in frustration. We come to one which sums them all up. And that is the name Wonderful. Wonderful. I want us just for a few moments to glance at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, because there is the list of those names. These are really hyphenated names. A hyphenated name is really two names combined into one, and that's the intent here in Isaiah. And we actually read it wrong, and I was disappointed to hear that because it really messes up some of our choruses and even the chorus that we're going to conclude on this morning. But when he says his name shall be Wonderful, comma, Counselor, comma, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, that's not the way it was intended. The intended writing was he is Wonderful Counselor, comma. For all of these names are descriptions of who God is, who Jesus is in his character. And so the first description is that he is Wonderful Counselor. He is a Wonderful Counselor. And it describes his nature and character. I want you to think of something or someone who is wonderful in your life. Everybody for a moment. Think real hard, husband. Think real hard of somebody that's wonderful in your life. Who is the most wonderful person that you've ever met? Hint, hint. Wives, think of somebody that's wonderful to you. Now I want you to think of one adjective, one description for that person. Hyphenate their name. One adjective is all you get. Crybaby Susie. Oh, no. You get the idea? One adjective that encompasses the whole life of that person. Think for a moment. What would you call your spouse, your fiancé, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or guys, somebody that you might be looking at, not yet your girlfriend. Girls, same thing. How would you encompass that person? How would you describe that person with one adjective? Now hyphenate their name. Now your homework assignment is to go home and do that. Husbands and wives, you have an assignment. Don't blow it because Christmas is coming. How would you describe someone that's precious to you? The other day as I was driving down the street, I was meditating and thinking on the message as I do from place to place. As I was driving along, there was a rain shower, and suddenly I looked up and there was a rainbow. Did you see that? I think it was Friday afternoon at 3:35. And I stopped and gazed at it for a moment. I thought, it's an awesome one. Wow. And it was going over to somebody's house. Somebody in the church, I think it was McGuire, was right over your house, landed right in your yard. A pot of gold might have been there. But it expanded the whole sky. It was huge. And it was beautiful. It was bright. Now, I'm colorblind. That means I can't see all the colors of the rainbow. And I've always been able to see the glow of the rainbow, but I can't really distinguish but two colors. And as I studied that, I thought, oh, I wish I could see more. It must be awesome. Must be beautiful. All I could see was blue and yellow. A blue streak on the bottom, a yellow streak on the top. But I imagined my wife looking at it and then describing it to me. And she'd probably say, oh, it's more than wonderful. It's marvelous. It's more than marvelous. It's magnificent. It's more than magnificent. It's, you get the adjective? What is the greatest adjective that the American language has ever come up with? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. When you stop to think of it, it's something quite precocious. Now, if you're not as old as I am, you probably have no idea what that's about. That's Mary Poppins from an old-time movie. But the idea was there are some things that words cannot describe, and so you almost have to make up your own word. Maybe you can do that today. Make up a word for your husband or your wife, or maybe you've already done that. But Jesus wants us to understand and grasp for a moment, though it be for a fleeting moment, to grab the rainbow of His character, to see Him for who He is. Isaiah says, He is Wonderful Counselor. Searching for the word. He's a cool counselor. He's a tremendous counselor. He's an exciting counselor. He's a good counselor. The words will not do. But the word wonderful is made for all the other words that won't work. When you see something that's beyond description and makes you tingle inside, the word is wonderful. That is the word for Jesus. He is wonderful. Wonderful to me. As we think of Him as being the Wonderful Counselor, we also observe that He is the Mighty God. Now that seems like an oxymoron. If He's God, He is mighty. But the adjective helps us to understand Him. He is mighty. I heard a song that said, He is mightier than the mightiest. He is stronger than the strongest. He is better than the best. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. That means lasting forever, never ending. Can you span that in your imagination? What is forever? Let's all be two-year-olds for a moment. How long is forever or everlasting? Can you measure it? Now, if some of you are like I was when I was your age, I would be sitting there and a pastor would challenge us with an idea or an illustration and he would say, how high can you count? And in the rest of the service, I would be going, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12, 13, 14, and then the service is over and I got to 9,722. That doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of eternity and forever. Someone once said, eternity is kind of like this. If a bird were able to fly around the world, and that sparrow could fly completely around the world and come to Mount Everest and peck his beak once every year, how long would it take him to wear away Mount Everest? That would be one moment in eternity. Everlasting Father is a name for Jesus. And finally, the Prince of Peace. To make that hyphenated, it's Prince Peace. Prince Peace. Jesus is the one who came to give us peace. Not just a peace in Israel or a peace in Afghanistan, but a peace inside that nothing else can give and no one else can offer to you. Because He alone has it. He begins with that title of Wonderful and ends with the Prince of Peace, or the Peace Prince to your heart and life. I want to ask you this morning, what is Jesus to you? Not just what His name is, but what is He to you? How significant is He in your life? How wonderful is He to you. How valuable is He to your heart and your soul. And the bottom line of all of this message is this. It is not what we call Jesus that matters most. It is not what we call Him or by what name we call Him. But what's most important is that we call on Him. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, and whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Jesus really isn't concerned whether you're calling Him Lord or Wonderful or Prince of Peace or Savior or Lamb of God. He's listening for your voice to call His name and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And come into my heart and cleanse my sins and give me everlasting life. The other day I was sitting in my office, and as I sometimes do, I put a CD in, and I was looking for a particular song, and I came across it. And it's called, Oh, to Be in His Presence. If you ever find that, listen to it with nobody else around. And I put the speakers out there and I cranked the volume way up. And I listened to that harmony, that beauty. Oh, to be in His presence. That's all I long for. As I sat there, I started to cry. A little bit later, I invited my wife in. I said, shut the door. You got to listen to this. And it played again and I cried again. And I said, Marilyn, play this in my funeral. It's my heart's desire. That's all I live for. All I want is to be in His presence because Jesus is so wonderful to me. Now, had I been married to anybody lesser than Marilyn, she would have stood there saying, what's wrong with you? But she joined in because there's something that has taken place in our hearts that forever changed us. There was a day when I received the Lord Jesus into my heart and life, and it was a day when my heart changed toward Jesus. He became my Savior and my wonderful Lord. And I have loved Him ever since because He loved me. And there was a day many years ago, many, many years ago, my wife just had a birthday, so many, many, many years ago, when my wife was 9 years old, listening to Jack Workson on the radio, when she opened her heart to the Lord Jesus, and a magnificent thing happened in her heart. Jesus became her Savior and her wonderful Lord. My friend, I ask you this morning, has your heart ever melted in His presence? Have you ever been like Handel in the Messiah? Have you ever wept at the presence of God? Has Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Wonderful Counselor, ever come to take up residence in your heart? What is He to you? You see, what's most important is not what you call Him, but that you have called on Him. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I can guarantee you that when Jesus comes into your heart, things change. Sometimes it's suddenly, sometimes it's slowly, but things change, and your attitude and your worship of the Lord Jesus will change forever and ever. And you know, that's a pretty good way to determine whether somebody's a real believer or whether they've just gone through the motions. Whether or not you've fallen in love with the Lord Jesus, and like John the Apostle, you say, His name is magnificent, I can't wait to be with Him. Or like Isaiah, you just search for the words and say, He is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He's all these things. And like all men and women who have received Christ, your heart is different, it's melted, it's tender in the presence of the Lord. As I sat there in my study listening to that music of to be in His presence, I was wiping my eyes and I said, Marilyn, I see myself in heaven and I have one arm around my daughter on one side, the other around Reed Rogers. And we're singing in His presence. And I'll tell you, we call it lost it. I lost it. No, I gained it. I gained a glimpse of Jesus. My friend, that's what I live for. That day when I will stand in His presence and all of His glory, all of who He is, will be fully appreciated. What is He to you? Is He more than wonderful? Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? If He's not this morning, I invite you to receive Him as your Savior. He's waiting. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come into him and I'll fellowship with him and he with me. That means Jesus said, I'll come in and I'll be your friend. I'll be your Savior. I'll be the Lord. You will see me in all my glory. But you have to take that step, opening the door and inviting Jesus Christ to come in. If you haven't done it, I invite you and encourage you to do it today. As we pray, and in a moment, we're going to sing a closing song. His name is wonderful. And we want to invite everybody that's here to participate in that song and worship the Lord and just put your heart before Him as though you're in heaven already and let His splendor shine and appreciate Him for who He is. And if you haven't yet received Him, receive Him right here and now by personal invitation. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord Jesus, I stand in awe of You. For You are magnificent and wonderful. You are stupendous. You are absolutely beyond description. There is no love that can define Your love. There is no absolute beyond who You are. You are more than wonderful. And I thank You for being so wonderful to come and to be born in a manger and to live Your life and to show us God's presence and then die on the cross to pay for our sins. You did it all. And we thank You. And I pray if there's anyone here this morning that whose heart is dead, whose heart has no emotion in it and cannot identify with loving the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray today that they will hear Your voice. And right now they would say, Lord Jesus, I need You. My heart is dead. And they would ask You to come in and be their Savior. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You always do what You promise. You'll never turn anyone away who says, Lord Jesus, I need You. Thank You for the promise that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And being saved, we can sing His name. It's wonderful. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and no one, please, no one looking around. It's not a game time, not pretend. But if this morning for the first time, or even for the second time, you've affirmed that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You've invited Him to come in. Would you just slip up your hand quickly and let me see it? And by that you're saying, Pastor, I asked Jesus to be my Savior. You're not alone, for there are 150 people here today that have asked Jesus in. If you've asked Him in, we want to know about it so we can pray for you. Anyone this morning? And I trust that everyone here has already done that. And therefore, you can sing with us. Will you stand as we sing? As we worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, His name is wonderful.